Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your kind waiting. Your conference will begin shortly. If you're connected to the webcast, you can change the language by clicking on the configuration icon. I give the floor to Catherine Chacon to start the conference. Thank you, Hilda. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the conference of results for the third quarter of 2020 for Grupo Nutresa. At the table, we have Carlos Ignacio Gallego, President of Grupo Nutresa, Jose Domingo Penagos, and Vice President of Corporate Finance, and Santiago Escobar, Director of Corporate Finance. My name is Catherine Chacon. I'm the Director of Investor Relations. After the presentation of the results, we'll start the Q&A session. The questions, you can ask them through the audio line or through the webcast chat line. If you ask questions, please state your name and the institution you represent. If you want to follow the slides in Spanish, because by default they are in English, you can download them from the screen at the platform. In addition, if you're connected through the webcast, we remind you that you can change languages by clicking on the configuration icon. Starting the presentation, I'll give the floor to Carlos Ignacio Gallego, President of Grupo Nutresa. Good morning. Thank you for being with us with the conference of the results for Grupo Nutresa for the end of the third quarter 2020. To start with, I'd like you to go to slide number two, where we share the interesting events for this period. We'll start with these interesting events by sharing two recent recognitions. For the sixth year in a row, Merco Empresas, a corporate reputation monitor, recognized Grupo Nutresa as the second company in Colombia with the best reputation and the first in the food sector. I'd like to point out that in a year marked by uncertainty, only eight companies of the 100 companies that are the part of Monitor Merco, including Grupo Nutresa, maintained the same position they had in 2019. This shows the dynamics of the reputations, the organization's reputation. Since we implemented this Monitor Merco Empresas in 2018, Grupo Nutresa has helped the one of the five top places, and since 2014 we have held the second position. We believe that reputation is the consequence of what we do and of our relations with all stakeholders. I must tell you that in the lower part of the slide, that Servicios Nutresa, a company from Grupo Nutresa, was recognized as a gold with a seal of quality of Equipares. This is a program for certification of gender equality programs that invite companies to work on cultural transformation and to close gender gaps in the workplace. This recognition is the highest possible in the certification, ratifies our commitment to strengthening our inclusive culture that appreciates diversity in every way and allows integrated development of men and women inside the organization. After these two recognitions, let's go to the slide number three, where we show a summary of our strategy for 2020-2030. As you can see, our strategy is aimed at doubling by 2030 our sales for 2020 with returns higher than the cost of capital used. To achieve this goal, we're offering our consumers foods and experiences with well-known and appreciated brands that nourish, generate well-being and pleasure, and are differentiated because of the best ratio of price relationship available in our strategic region. This will be managed by talented, innovative, productive, committed, and responsible people, and within the framework of sustainable framework development. The next slide, number four, we show in the lower part on the left our higher purpose, which is to build a better world where development benefits everyone. This illustrates our decision, our vocation of managing relationships with all stakeholders. And in the right, you can see a graph that shows all our objectives. I'll go to expand a bit so that you can get a general idea of our goals. Our objectives for 2030 start with the growing generation of values for all our related projects, as you can see in the center in white, and are based on three pillars. The first is inspiring development, growth, and innovation. You can see that on the outside in orange. The second one is cooperating with people, our partners in society, which is in the lower right-hand side in blue. And the third one is preserving our planet, which is on the left lower part in green. Each dimension will be working on some capabilities which will enable us to achieve the goals that we have set for ourselves and that I will now summarize. Let me explain first, inspiring the development, growth, and innovation, as I said, which is in the top in orange. We speak here of managing categories, brands, models, and experiences. You can see that in the slice of the pie that are concentrically located around the increasing value generation. This is the first one. In this area, we have the evolution of the go-to-market model by geography, and we will consolidate our brand and network management based on a challenging growth and efficient with adequate value propositions for our clients, buyers, and consumers. Also, we will continue to strengthen our leading brands by developing and expanding our portfolios. And we also include in this dimension the development of geographies, where we hope to have 100% compliance with the geography and development plan. We'll keep a priority focus on our strategic region because we will accelerate the entry into new areas of growth. We will also leverage the presence of Nutresa Group in areas such as Asia and Africa and other emerging markets through pilots with corporations which allow us to know better these markets. Thirdly, we're still in that orange dimension with competitiveness, where we are trying to have a ROI higher than the cost of capital. This is vitally important, and it consists of several items and initiatives that we will continue to implement in our organization, including evolution of our growth as a rate of demand, evolution of new technologies. We're focused on efficiency and productivity, global suppliers, and the master plan for logistics for Nutresa, the implementation of our operational excellence model, a continuation of our discipline in CapEx investment, and the application of work capital, cash flows, and fixed assets. And we focus on capabilities that will act, capabilities, access to geography, and consolidating businesses and categories with an emphasis on health and nutrition, and also with the acceleration of enterprising activities. And lastly, in this dimension, we have the digital transformation, where we hope to at least get 20% of our revenue through digital channels to the consumers and clients. We will improve our technologies to leverage our reach to market, and we'll increase our master program to implement our technologies inside the organization. This completes the upper part of the dimension in orange, which is inspiring development, growth, and innovation. Let's now go to the second front, which is in blue, and it's called cooperating with people, our partners, and society. As part of this dimension, we have innovation and research, effective innovation and research, where we hope to have 20% at least of our revenue come from innovation, and 50% of our innovations refer to health and nutrition. In with this objective, we will continue to innovate in opportunities with a significant impact on revenue, profitability, sustainability, social and environmental, and we will have some differentiated innovations which allow us to develop innovations which help our health and nutrition of our consumers, and we will have alliances in that with that purpose. And we'll have our R&D center will be the source of the support and research for our opportunities. Along the same dimension, we have talent development. We hope to have organizational climate and commitments which are higher and superior, above 80%, and I hope to have low time injury rates less than one with our cooperators and contractors. This is the way to measure our wasted time due to lesions produced by some disability or incapacity. Total integration of our talent is, and we will continue to apply processes that will allow us to attract and to prioritize competent and committed employees, and we will strengthen our practices to promote self-care practices, productivity, and sustainability, always within the framework of inclusion and diversity. We will also look for at least 1,000 projects to develop capabilities in the communities. Development of capabilities in productivity and capability in vulnerable populations is part of our shared value proposition. We will develop health projects, safety and food safety, and we'll increase in our self-leadership and self-management abilities based on our educational school, institutions. That completes the blue part, which is cooperating with people, partners, and society. And we'll complete the presentation of the plan by talking about the preserving the planet, which is in green. Here, we will work on looking for responsible supplies, having 100% of our raw materials will be achieved productively and sustainably, and also maintaining biodiversity. This is a challenging objective which pushes us to improve capabilities in our suppliers to have a conscious and socially and environmentally responsible supply lines, to develop effective alliances to implement agricultural and agricultural practices, and involving innovating technologies which will encourage competitiveness in competitive and inclusive businesses. And secondly, we will be working on caring for the environment using circular solutions, trying 100% of our packaging to be recyclable, reusable, or compostable. This also involves a major commitment to research, innovation, and implementing new technologies in packaging, which allows to improve the use and recyclability. And for that, we will strengthen our alliances, our the producers of packaging will implement co-design implement initiatives, and will support projects for reusing packages in new production cycles. We also try to reduce by 40% our 1 and 2 scope emissions by per ton produced. This is directly related to our ability to operate more efficiently and effectively, and this includes our logistics and distribution networks. All these indicators that we just saw in these three dimensions are deployed in each of our companies, and there are sub-levels that will allow us to maintain their implementation and which will allow us to ensure their progress. complying with these new or achieving these new objectives is guided by organizational philosophy, which includes 10 principles that guide our corporate ideals, which is, you can see if you go to slide number 5. These three 10 principles are autonomy with strategic coherence, good corporate governance, corporate citizenship, productivity and competitiveness, innovative effective innovation, development of our talent, integrity, reliable food and health lifestyle, collaborative management, and respect. It's very important. I will not explain them one by one, but I'd like to tell you that after presenting this plan, that as you can see is challenging, it has to do with society and with stakeholders, and balanced on economic, social, and environmental aspirations, we feel that we are sure that we have a major challenge to benefit all stakeholders, especially all our shareholders. Let's go now to slide number 6, so that Alejandro, we have, after this introduction, we can see how sales for the third quarter behaved. Here, I'd like to start by telling you that during this third quarter of 2020, we maintained a positive behavior both in Colombian sales and sales outside Colombia, with products that have portfolios concentrated on home consumption products, such as biscuits, cold cuts, chocolates, and pasta. They maintain a positive outlook, but those which are consumer foods or those that have portfolios in this area, such as coffee and ice cream, are still have been affected. We should note that in Colombia, we had during the quarter 2 months with restrictions related to the pandemic, and in September, where we gradually began to flexibilize our restrictions on mobility. As far as sales in Colombia, we have sales for 1,701,800 million pesos, with a growth of 8.4%. And we point out that the pasta, cold cuts, and biscuits as the best performers. When we exclude consumer business, we have a growth of 12.5%. The volumes went up 2.2%, and the average price was increased by 10.1%, mostly due because of changes in the product mix with lower industrial sales and more accessible presentations, which make really that variation. We didn't have a 10.1% increase in prices. That is mainly the effect of the change in the mix. Organic growth was 5.5%. By business unit, we point out the double-digit growth of the businesses in pasta and cold cuts. In the biscuits, when we exclude industrial sales and byproducts, we have a growth of 3.8%, which comes from a 0.7% positive from change in volumes and 3.1% of changes in prices. The cold cuts grew 14.4% as a result of good business dynamics, especially derived from the trust by consumers on their brands and the convenience of the product portfolio. The chocolate business has a growth of 7.9% in revenue as a result of the recovery of volumes in their impulse categories and the good dynamics of table chocolates in the essential groceries area. Coffee decreased at 12.1%. because of lower consumption in cafeterias and offices. I mentioned that in the introduction. In the retail foods, we had a decrease of 33% compared to the same quarter last year.
However, vis-a-vis the second quarter this year, it grew 46.5% due to the strategies we've had and the great flexibility in people's mobility after September. We have a very good dynamics that I would like to point out, and an ongoing recovery. In ice cream, we had a decrease of 3.7% compared to 2019, mostly due to the lower consumption outside the home and in ice cream parlors, and because of less tourism. However, like in the previous visits, compared to the second quarter, we grew 20% with a positive recovery. Finally, in pasta, we have a growth of 16.2% with very good dynamics in all channels. In this category, which stands out because of convenience, the consumer has preferred more accessible and higher value brands. As far as sales side of Colombia, we reported revenue for $308.6 million with a growth of 4.7% in Colombian pesos. That represents 1,151,700 million with a growth of 17%. The valuation of the period is 11.8% vis-a-vis the same quarter last year. The behavior in organic sales, excluding the acquisition of Cameron's Coffee, by the 6.6% in Zira and 11.6% in Colombian pesos, considering the devaluations of the currencies in several of our countries where we act. When we exclude retail food, the growth in dollars will be 6.9%. By business, biscuits has a good business dynamics in the Central American platform and lower volumes in the U.S. and Puerto Rico. Tres Montes Lucchetti has a growth of 12.8% in its functional currency. When we include the devaluation of 10.7% of the Chilean peso vis-a-vis the dollar, revenue grew 12.7% in dollars. In coffee, we had an organic growth of 4.4%, which by including the sales of Carmen Coffee, is increased to 37.5% compared to the same period in the previous year. Very significant, this behavior for coffee. In chocolate, we had a decrease of 8.9% as a result of lower volumes in our Peru and Mexico platforms, where we have portfolios which are more focused on impulse products. In international retail foods, we have a similar effect to what I already mentioned in the Colombian operations, restriction for quarantine and physical displacement restrictions. We point out the recovery very positive also by growing 36.1% compared to the second quarter of this year. In the cold cuts, we reported revenue for 0.6% increase with a very good business dynamics and the growth in Panama. Let's go now to slide number 7. When we combine the growth in Colombia of 8.4% and the international of 17.7%, we reported a growth of 11.7% during the quarter. Very good. With sales, consolidated sales of 2,853,500 million pesos. The organic growth is equally significant, 7.7%. If we were to exclude consumer retail foods, the growth would be 15.2%. In the midst of a very challenging environment, we point out of the very positive results in business activities reflected in the revenues that we are reporting. In slide number 8, I will refer to accumulated sales by the end of September 2020. In these accumulated sales, we have, as you know, the combined effect of two months with normal business dynamics, which were January and February, and 7 months with the effects of the COVID-19 pandemics. As far as Colombian sales, we reported sales for 4,859,500 million pesos with a growth of 8.4%. We point out pasta, cold cuts, and biscuits as the best performers.
organic sales, excluding the acquisition of Atlantic Food Service, is 4,722,500 million pesos, growing 5.4%. By excluding the sales of retail foods during the period, the growth would be 12.3%. We had increases in all our business units except retail foods and ice cream, which are affected, as I mentioned, especially by the social distancing measures. We have a balanced growth in the accumulated in volume and prices, and the changes respond to the change in the mix of products in portfolio. As far as international sales outside of Colombia, revenues for the period are $894.6 million, with an increase of 6.7% in Colombian pesos. That would be 3,318,800 million pesos, with a growth of 22.1%. The organic growth behavior, excluding Cameroon's coffee, is 0.1% in dollars and 14.5% in Colombian pesos. The Montefuquete has a growth of 11.5% in Chilean pesos. When we include the devaluation of 17% in the Chilean peso vis-a-vis the dollar, revenue decreases by 5.1% in dollars. This is completely reverted when we account for this in Colombian pesos, as we'll see later. In coffee, we have an organic growth of 19.4%. Due to the increase or the acquisition of Common Coffee, we increase it to 67.5%. And exports from Colombia are significant. In the year, have $213 million, with a growth of 11.6% in dollars. And go to going now to slide number 9, where we combine the accumulated sales in national and international sales. We have total sales for the end of September for 8,178,300 million pesos, with an organic with a growth of 13.6%. As you can see in the bar graph, is all grows, all businesses are growing except consumer foods, which are retail foods and ice cream, very close to the previous levels of the previous year. And these two businesses, both ice cream and retail foods, are having a positive trend, recovering their revenue. If we exclude that, we have a growth of 17.1%. Sales from innovations were 20.2%. Going now to slide 10. We see that when we analyze the distribution of revenue by region, sales outside of Colombia were 40.6%. In the U.S., it went from 8.9% in 2019 to 12.3% this year, and it's now the second geography for Grupo Nutresa. The third is Central America with 10.2%. And the third is Chile with 7.5%. As I said earlier, Peru and Mexico have challenges in the future because those countries, our portfolio is more focused on impulse categories. And now talking about things that have to do with profitability, slide number 11 shows some information about raw materials. You can see on the left side of the slide the commodities index for Grupo Nutresa, where we see that this average index from January through September has a level higher than what we had last year. As a result of an increase in prices in general for all our raw materials during the third quarter of 2020, here the rate of exchange has a final cost of the inputs that we import, those that are indexed to the dollar. The average accumulated rate for this year
is higher by 14.2% than to 2019. And this affects our raw materials costs. As you know, Grupo Nutresa have a strategy to manage this volatility risk in currency and in commodities. We have hedging or futures, and with physical inventories when the conditions make that a viable option. Now, Jose Domingo Penasu, our CFO, will complete our other aspects about our profitability. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Santo Domingo. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. Good morning, everyone. Let's now talk about the profits, talk about the EBITDA for the third quarter found in slide number 12. In this quarter, we had a EBITDA of 370,000 million pesos with a margin of 13% and a growth of 7.6%. As you can see in the graph, we have very good results. We have growth in EBITDA in most of our businesses. Four of them grew double digits. In the case of retail food, which is peculiar in this situation, we showed mostly the quarantine and physical distancing that affect the revenue during the quarter. The business parts mentioned also has another peculiarity. 2 months of street quarantine, especially in Colombia, and 1 month of gradual opening. And we must add to the measures of job protection measures that we implemented here and we have shared with you in the various conferences throughout the year. A general framework before we go into the numbers. First off, as we mentioned previously, the group is focused on prioritizing health and well-being of our employees, clients, and consumers, and this is why we're operating with the most with the strictest measures of cleanliness, protection, and biosafety. When we speak about profitability, this means additional expenses. And these expenses, as a result of the pandemic, have managed mostly by implementing the operating expenses that we have for administration and sales, and even some operating expenses throughout the entire value generation line. This is the general area of the results. And if we were able to summarize the profit equation during this period, which applies for the accumulated and for the quarter, the first thing would be some revenue, which is healthy, good business performance, a significant pressure on costs, has more effect on this quarter. It has an impact on gross margin, and the management of this value equation is managed by the costs. We'll see the results, show the growth of results in sales, and that takes us back to the value equation. And going back to the numbers, business by business, we'll start with biscuits. Here we have a good balance, commercial balance, as we said in the general framework. It applies very well for this business unit. A growth in Colombia and the international, it's very good sales, goodwill balance, and our close to 50% inside and outside. And if we add to this management of the expenses, it helps us balance the pressure by raw materials. We have double-digit growth in some of the raw materials. We have like sugar and wheat, fats. These are the ones that are referred that have double-digit growth during that period. This allows us to have the margins and the EBITDA. And in the cold cuts, the double-digit growth that I mentioned in revenue also helps a lot to dilute the fixed expenses. We have a cost pressure, which is significant, but there are scales, economies of scale. expense control, like logistics, distribution, marketing, help balance this profit equation in the cold cut business, which has a growth of 45% in the EBITDA. In the chocolate business, we have a mixed commercial balance. We have a recovery in volumes, especially in Colombia, of the impulse categories that we mentioned in the first conferences, which were more impacted by the early months of the year of this COVID contingency. We had some recovering, and they have very good profitability, which helps a lot with this balance with the EBITDA, with the chocolate business unit. And we must mention that we have some challenges in the international, Mexico, Peru, all as you mentioned, and in the cost of the impact on the commodities has been very heavy. Close to 45% of the basket that is included in this category growing at almost 45%. Efficiencies in the investments in marketing, logistics, and in distribution as a key elements to recover or to rebalance that equation. Then we have the coffee business. I'm going the order of the slide. This is the business dynamics in the period, growth of 24%, and this helps us a lot also to dilute the expenses. This is a very good business with higher participation of revenues, international revenue, if we take Colombia as a basis. We have good control here of expenses, which helps counteract the effect. We have a very significant impact because of the increase in the cost of the prices of coffee, and this business, the raw material cost is 70% of the cost. In the TMLC, we have a margin of 13.3%. We have 13.3% growth and a 1.5% increase. We have good mix of in sales. It also allows us to contribute to the profitability and to manage the cost pressure. The devaluation in Chile, we had the same impact. We had devaluations, Carlos, as you mentioned, there's a 17% devaluation. The Colombian peso was 18%. That means on the basis of the raw materials, we have a pressure on these raw materials based on those devaluations. In retail food, we have, we might remember that we have almost three years in one, the first 2.5 months with confinement and now the gradual release in the first quarter. That recovery or the opening of our stores during these last months has improved our revenue. So we must point out that the idea of maintaining these installed expenses and good negotiations, a lot of assistance, a lot of support by the owners of the stores during this period. We want to point that out. We have positive figures, 7.5%. When we have opening, the good profitability of home deliveries and in-person sales, which help a lot. The fixed expense management has also included in this business unit, and rental, which is a lot of significant expense. So consumer or retail foods is positive, and I'll point out more than that, it's a trend which has been recovering as the gradual economy opens up where we operate. In ice cream, we have a healthy margin, 16.8%, the same period last year, it's minus 4%, but we also mentioned that we had those challenges. So the efficiencies in marketing expenses, in logistics, in general throughout the chain helps us a lot with the high margin by high income unit. We have in Pasto, we have a margin of 18%, very good revenue, good business performance, expense management, even with that performance has also been affected by the expenses, but it has been able to absorb the pressure on raw materials, which is affected by those rates of exchange. But still, we can have a very good balance in profits and value. That is the summary of the quarter. As always, I'll give you more details during the period and more general than the accumulated figures. So if we add the results for the third quarter to the first two, the accumulated EBITDA, as you can see in slide number 13, is 1.1 billion Colombian pesos, with a margin of 13.7%, and with a growth of 12.5%, is better than the accumulated and then for the quarter. We also have the positive results in the major businesses at profit levels, with growing more than the revenue. And I could emphasize coffee, ice cream, pasta, cold cuts, and biscuits. These accumulated figures allows us to compensate for the cyclicality of the expenses. Those of you who know that over the last quarter has an accumulated expenses, more expenses, and this will help us manage that cycling, which is already, we're already on that. And this is about the events. Let's see the results of the result for the quarter and the accumulated. The first in slide number 14 is the P&L for this period. We have the context. Remind you that for most of the quarter, we operated in physical distancing, quarantine, and this was gradually released according to the local government provisions. In the government, in the geographies where we work, all jurisdictions are different. They're not the same in different countries. They were all different. In general, gradual opening, but very different. Our operation is focused on managing responsibly and efficiently our resources by watching for the business continuity and achieving our reach to market and our go-to market to make sure that all, our portfolio is aligned with the changing expectations and new consumer habits. During this whole period, we've seen how these habits change and the speed with which those changes take place has been fundamental. Well, about the numbers, we see some figures that have a good trend. We have a growth of double digit, 11.7%. The magnitude is 2.9 billion pesos. Again, we have the effect of the two acquisitions during the previous year, Cameron's and Atlantic. So the organic growth for that period is 7.7%. And then cost, we've been mentioning that. We have an impact of 290 base points on our gross margin during the period. So we have in this good business performance, the response has been the expense. We have saved by controlling management production expenses. Those items grow 4.1%, very low, much lower than the growth of revenue. And in total, this set of expenses went from 34.5% of the sales to 32% of sales. That is 230 base points of optimizations on a lower base, but which helps revert that equation to this point, to this level. Some effects on the different changes of assets and liabilities. We have 2 billion pesos here due to the devaluation in the various operations where we operate. In respect to profitability, we have operating profits of 263,000 million pesos. The profits grew 7.3% and EBIT growing up by 117 million pesos, grows 76 and margin grows 1.3%. In post operations, we have financial revenue due to our cash position. You saw that in the balance sheet. We accumulated to close to 900,000 million pesos in cash. I'll refer to that later in our debt section, but that shows you why financial revenue grows and financial expenses have been capitalized for that decrease in the growth of rates of interest. In our debt is variable, but we started to fix our positions for debt at the rate of debt interest rates. In this volatility has been fixed. We still see some room to improve our liquidity in the market. About taxes, we need to have explanations. Mainly, that increase is due to a lower amortization during this year compared to the previous year, 2019, and the recording of future benefits for some operations in the group. We have practically more profits during the period and lower fiscal reductions for the period. These are the three items that I'm going to give you some numbers later on. So we have net profits of 140,000 million pesos, higher by 7% than the same period in the previous year. Slide number 15 shows our accumulated statement of results, a growth of 13.6%. We mentioned that organic growth is 8.8%. If we discount the revenue from Campos, Amazonas, and Atlantic Food Service during this period, and the margin goes to 130 gross margin, less than the for the quarter. In not to repeat, the optimized expenses, an improvement of 240 base points on that basis, and it also helps us balance that equation. We see that this is growing also almost 13%, and have close to 800,000 million pesos. The EBITDA reference is 1.1 billion, which is 12.5 and 13.7 growing at 12.5. Financial revenue also is a result of the cash position and the financial expenses, exactly the same concept that I already mentioned. So about the taxes, we have the current and deferred taxes. In general, we go 54,000 million pesos. In percentage, it grows 39%, and then it has an effect of 400 base points. So as a result of these three items that I mentioned, I'll give you that. First is that we have a liquidation of a good partnership in Chile. Then Chile had some tax benefits in 2019. That corporation is no longer, and that, so we have that effect. Out of that, that is 14,000 billion, 1 point of those mentioned that I mentioned of the effective rate. That is 25% of our weight of that increase. The second is lower benefits, fiscal benefits. We ended legal stability contracts ended last year, and that 20,000 of the 54,000, or 1.5% of that 4% of the total effective rate, or 15% of that 39%, we already have a second item. The two that I mentioned have to do with those that I had in 2019 and are no longer in 2020. What do we have in 2020 that we didn't have before? More non-deductible taxes. We have a significant set of taxes, donations, ICA, withholdings on foreign sales. It's a significant set that is 24,000 out of 54,000, and 1.5% also of that 4 and 37% of the weight, or 15% of that. If you take that, you can do the building blocks, how those decreases or any increase our taxes that we have mentioned. And after that tax event effect, we have an effect of 469,000 million pesos, which grows 13.8% compared to the net profits accumulated during the same period last year. So I'll end this section with the debt position, cash, capex, working capital. The indicator, the debt net to EBITDA is below 2, 1.99 times. The average rate of debt is 4.1%. Cash generation, which you'll see in the financial statements, I think that are close to 900,000 million pesos. And the result improved our cash flow, operating cash flow. We have a small debt at the beginning as a prevention, as a result of the pandemic, but already paid back almost 50 or 60% of that trench. So our cash position in generation of funds is good. Our capex we've had with budget, which we optimized that, need to be careful. And we told you about the same scenario for our C3 scenario. We have close to 300 million pesos still to execute in capex for the year, so of which we have almost half. 160,000 million pesos is what we've implemented so far. That is less heavier towards the end of the year. We have some payments that we will be accumulating. So this reflects our financial position for the group. And with that, I will end this section to give the floor to Carlos Ignacio again, who will share his vision for the end of this year. And then we will have our Q&A. Thank you, Jose Domingo. Okay. Talking about the outlook, I'd like to start by saying that commercially we foresee positive business dynamics for the last months of the year, and although we will not have the same peak as the same at the beginning of the year during the pandemic, we'll try to create some additional inventory. This is going to be good growth. Let me tell you that a gradual opening of in each country where we operate and eventually any closures will affect our sales in restaurants, ice cream shops, and impulse products. But I want to compete with this positive addition of the commercial. We say that our strength in distribution, channel development, the proactiveness and the flexibility allows us to project a good outlook for sales next year. As far as profits, as Jose Domingo said it, we foresee an end of the year with cost pressure because of the higher cost of raw materials, fluctuations in rate of exchange, and with some of the expenses associated to care and protection of people, which will continue to be installed as long as if we don't have a solution, which we don't see that in the short term. The most important measures have to do with social distancing, the use of personal protection equipment, and with isolation of the most vulnerable people, or those who are suspected of having had the disease. Historical behavior of the profits I've mentioned earlier is lower than in the last quarter for the year. But considering the existing basis, especially the programs that we have for efficiency and productivity that we have going on, we forecast a good closure with a proper value generation. So this is a very positive outlook, commercially different from those panic peaks during the year, but more pressure on the profits. But we've had good programs that allow us to project a good end of the year. Now I give the floor to Catherine Chacon so we can go to our
question and answer session. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. We'll now start our question and answer session. Through the web chat, we have three groups of questions that we're going to be reading, and then we'll go to the questions to the audio. The first question is from Juan Andrés Gallegos from Porvenir. We would like to know the ROIC objective target or the range. Okay. Thank you for being with us. I'll give you an answer. Our target ROIC, if you know that WACC is variable over time, and we're talking about a 10-year plan, so the target ROIC we're working on is WACC plus 3%. That is plus 3. And we are looking for, when that changes, we will change that target. That is the goal we're aiming at. We think that this is challenging, and we believe that demanding goal will help the company to keep evolving in a positive manner. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. The second questions are from Jairo Agudelo from Bancolombia. And I have two questions. Can you give us more information about the performance of the retail food business after the economic in September when it opened vis-a-vis the other quarantine months and what we just mentioned, but I'll ask again. Could you give some reference value for that return on capital? What is your estimate? Answer the first question, but the second has just been answered. Good morning, Jairo, and thank you for your being with us in this conference. Yes, I'll be glad to answer. As you have seen, not only in the case of Grupo Nutresa, but all over the world, in the restaurant sector, ice cream shops, in consumer foods or retail foods, this has been a sector that has been hard hit, especially by the social distancing measures that have been used as prevention to prevent propagation of COVID-19. Our biggest impact was around April, when we had sales that were 40% of what sell in previous years. That has been changing, improving, first because of the development and implementation of new capabilities, many of them having to do with digital. We mentioned that in the previous results conference, by developing our own sales force of deliveries and call centers, home delivery, and the new capabilities. And I mentioned that in the outlook, we're still exposed to that dynamics of gradual openings and closures around the world. I'll give you some figures which are very general, but over the last quarter, in the first month of last quarter, we sold 62% of what we used to sell last year. In the second month, we sold 69%, and in the third month, we sold 82%. As you can see, it's a recovery curve, which is progressing, both in ice cream shops and restaurants. Physical sales are higher than the home delivery, which is another indicator that people are being able to go pick up their delivery, or sitting down with some distancing restrictions in the shops and enjoy their food. We all mentioned, Jose Domingo mentioned in his presentation, that it had already come back with positive EBITDA. That's a very important symptom. In the previous conference, we projected that in ice cream shops, we would be getting back to 100% of sales at the end of the year in December. And the rest of restaurants would be back to that in the next following year. Let me tell you that ice cream shops are already selling the same as we had last year. Obviously, the accumulated will be seeing the impact of lower sales in some months, but the
Central American and Caribbean ice cream shops are selling the same as we had last year. And recovery in other restaurants, as we mentioned, is doing well. In the report, I mentioned that Q3 sales were increased 3.1 compared to the previous quarter. Let me tell you that this pandemic is something that mankind hasn't gotten over yet. We're being careful in restaurants, and I'd like to remind everyone the priorities that we've had with the previous conferences on Grupo Nutresa. We are taking care of people, health, and lives, and we are complying with our mission of food supplying, having food on the tables of the homes of where we operate, and we cooperate with public and private allies to become part of the solution. So this is an idea, Jairo, that how this recovery is coming along. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. The next question is from Valentina Martinez from Bancolombia. Thank you for the presentation. Have you evaluated some chance for inorganic growth, or are they still going with that strategy of cash preservation to face this difficulty? Thank you for being with us. As you were able to, or you were, as you heard in the presentation, the company has some very highly controlled debt levels, and we have good cash, and we are looking for higher inorganic or greater inorganic growth. We had said that we're not going to have only just having more sales. Our acquisitions are going to be very selective, looking for new capabilities, access to new markets, and that we should, you know, adding those capabilities of these companies that who had already have to have access to businesses that we can make them bigger and more profitable. But we haven't done that yet because we've been able to find businesses that meet those conditions, but we're intending to do some organic growth. We're looking for opportunities. We haven't given up on that. We believe that the company is perfectly possible to continue to grow organically. The next question is from Daniel Guardiola. Why does the company couldn't get their guidance for ROI in 2020? What were the lessons, and what are the leverages that you intend to use to have the ROI grow more than cost of capital? And second, can you give some more details about the price increases in Colombia? What is the change of the change of mix, and what is the increase in prices? Let me take you the first one, and Carlos Ignacio will answer the second one. Remember the context when we started the 2020 mega, we did not include the returns in that. The idea was to double size with a specific range, which was 12 to 14%. Very soon after we launched that mega goal and after we purchased TMLC, which has a significant part of our capital in that, we launched our goal of having some returns on our capital, investing capital, are higher than the WACC. And we hope we spoke about inspiration. This is also applicable to 2030. But the actual goal is fixed was go over the cost of capital. When we were started, we were at 80%. We have, since we launched that goal, we improved that 8% by 200 base points, and now because of the WACC, we have a ROE which is higher than the cost of average capital. We are working on all the items, not only only one. This is a balanced equation: the increase in margins, and the discipline of CapEx, which we've been managing that all the several years. The working capital, also the three key elements. Inventories and suppliers, and especially in those we developed the solutions in inventories, we still have a lot of opportunities. So the specific answer is, the lesson is
consistency on the goal and the plans, and those are the same that we have been promising. It's the same things that we are committed to in this new goal, which Carlos Ignacio mentioned, of having WAPA plus 300 as an official goal based on a very well-balanced equation of profits, capex, and working capital. As far as the second question, Daniel, and also thanking you for your being with us, I'd say that the detailed analysis of all is more complex than that the answer would mean, because we have more than 2,000 references in our ratio of price to volume, usually explains in tons of kilos sold, is very different by category. I'd like to point out also that when we analyze the change in prices, we usually include not only the changes in price over the past month or past quarter, but also those that have been carried out throughout the year. And as you remember, towards the end of last year, we were talking about the impact of devaluation on the cost, and we had some changes in prices that we implemented at the end of last year that had to do with improving our profitability due to the impact of devaluation, which we're seeing the accumulated effect during this year. So what I would say is that. I'd also say that in the areas, in times of highest peaks in demand, production wasn't prioritized by giving more room for those references that are essential references, and that also creates some variations in our blends. And this is a major average. This is a figure that you see here due to a change in volumes and prices, a grand average. We believe that most of that effect comes from the change in the mix, from having stopped selling industrial products, which are a lot of tons, but lower average price, and cold cuts has had such an outstanding year, which are products which are significant price per kilo product. So it would be difficult to go business by business and reference by reference. So I would like to put your mind at ease that we have been growing significantly. We don't see any signs of any significant effects that are worth going into details. And part of our challenge is to continue growing. What is the biggest judge? Is it the market itself? The market itself, and that is why our pricing model changes or includes that prices, that changes in prices and model and volumes. And every time we talk, we touch a price, we analyze that. What would that imply for our volumes in that reference and in what channel and in what geography? And we manage that so that that combination can be positive for the group. Obviously, there are pressures, as we mentioned earlier, on raw materials and some in expenses. But the biggest source for not affecting profits is our productivity, efficiency. And that's what we're going to try to work on first to avoid two big price increases at times when the consumer's pocketbook is hit the hardest in all countries where we operate. That is the answer that I can give you, Daniel, and thank you for being with us. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. We'll start with the questions to the audio. We have a question from Mr. Felipe Ulkes from Scotiabank. Good morning, Cato Ignacio, Cato Domingo, Cati. I hope that you are well. Congratulations on the results. As you said, the results were only had a real month of reopening in Colombia. Now that we have a second month, have you seen any differences in the outlook? Anything about retail foods? But can you give us
more details about what you're seeing in the rest of the businesses. And the other question I had was about the new goal for 2030. You spoke of digital transformation at 20% of our revenue coming from digital channels. How do you define what is digital and what is not? For example, do sales through the aggregators, is that accounted as a digital or not? Understand what is included in that digital. To understand better what that means. Thank you, Felipe. Thank you for being with us in this conference. And I'll be glad to answer your two questions. The first one, yes, September was the first month with a higher level opening in Colombia, and October is similar, with some closures, but still small. That confirms the positive trend that we saw at the end has continued. What we've seen is that September and October have been very good months for sales, very good in sales and sales outside of Colombia, as I mentioned, have to do with the devaluations in the countries where we operate. But the trend in consumer foods in October continues to improve compared to September. October was better, and that is why the comment is positive for the last quarter. So this is a very good trend. Commercially, we just closed the month.
Actually, I cannot give you any ideas of my profit level.
And what I said when I talked about the outlook is still valid. That's the first question. About digital, I'll give you a short comment. Until 2016, we had a number of activities that had to do with digital. In 2016-2017, we did a big piece of work together with an international consulting firm, Accenture, and we reviewed everything that we were doing vis-a-vis what other actors around the world were doing as digital. And we found that we are mostly acting doing marketing and sales and management of ecosystems or networks. And we analyze the degree of maturity of each company, and we realize that actually our strategy or digital strategy is a strategy for capacity. And as Klaus Schwab mentioned it in the World Economic Forum, before digital transformation, we have human transformations. This has a human, major human background, because technology itself in the hands of one organization can produce very different effects from another company. So we have to get ready to make use of technology. So we had, between 18 and 19, we had several work forms to implement new capabilities in Grupo Nutres. We added the leadership concepts, flexibility, adaptability, speed, and we had a backlog with the definitions, and we have a complete digital transformation strategy, which is, as I said, a capability strategy. So when we speak about digital, this is something that affects the human part, but which also, our strategy is not the technology. Technology is a major enabler so that we can achieve our objectives. Specific achievements, for example, if I compare 2019 to 2020, in 5 months, we multiplied by 2.5 our sales, while digital customers multiplied by 4 times, through aggregators is 2.48 times, in restaurants at 2.2, and we went from 8 e-commerce to 18 e-commerce. And we've been working on the appropriation of new technologies, including, we're not going into detail, with some spaces for experimentation and building cases of use. Technologies, for example, chatbot, 3D, machine learning, and RPA. In each one of those, we've been working. And during the year 2020, we've implemented more than 50 cases of uses of new technologies in our group monetization business. This is a very intensive area, but what we see normally outside is the effects, is the consequences of what we do. Specifically in digital sales, we have a major discussion today. If we were to add, we are highly selective. If we add to everything, almost all our sales are digital, but we went into those that have their origin mainly in a contact through digital means, not those that you do through the traditional means and that are supported by technology. This is an internal definition, but that is why when you speak about the goal, this is the demanding part of that goal. We're highly active, and we are looking at this very humbly because we have a lot to do and a lot to learn. And this is part of this battery, this set of new capabilities that Grupo Nutresa wants to put into place and to use for our new goal. That is a summary, Felipe, of what I could tell you about the digital. Yeah, very clear. Sales expenses only grew 1%, a major achievement in terms of efficiency, but being in COVID also helps. We have to promote the possibilities of doing advertising, having done for most industry. What do you think is a sustainable place where, when we overcome this COVID period, this would be more? What do you think will happen after this? Speaking about structure or sustainability, about this is difficult. We've had like 3 years in one, and the same quarter was three different months. What I can tell you is that as we have the pressure, as long as we have the cost pressure, the response will be productivity in different groups of areas, and logistics, marketing, and even administration. So what our commitment is more on the entire equation for the EBITDA. Expenses represent the need for going to market and the pressure that we have on costs. That is the traditional question, but that gives you more on the EBITDA and more than the expenses right now. Thank you, Jose Domingo. Thank you, everyone. If you have any questions, push star 1 in your phone. Julian Enrique from La Vivienda Cordobés. Congratulations on the results. My question is specifically about the results of the quarter, about the plan to repurchase shares. Have you have anything to say about that? It's approved, but what have you been thinking about that? Yes, Julian, thank you for your words and for being with us in the meeting. Thank you for remembering this topic. The shareholders' assembly in the last meeting approved a repurchase, which can be implemented in over the next 3 years, and which the board of directors is constantly reviewing and analyzing according to the market conditions. What I can tell you so far is that we haven't decided to take that step. It's an option. I mentioned it in some previous conference. This is an option. This is not an obligation. It's part of the topics that we are constantly analyzing at the board. This is an alternative we have available that could be implemented any time during 3 years. But there's no additional details that I can tell you about. And thank you for being with us.
No further questions. I give the floor to Catherine Chacón. Before we end, I'd like to thank you all. I'd like to highlight the importance of this plan that we gave you, and I want to reinforce the balance that you have in our various objectives, not only economic, but also social and environmental. Organizations like this to endure, generate value, must be connected to society and the stakeholders. There's a major effort. We didn't have any questions about this topic, but I think this that we're constantly working on those fronts also, that companies like Nutresa show that it is possible to generate economic value at the same time as we have positive effects on society. Everyone, thank you for being with us. Take good care of yourselves. Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for your company, for your questions, and any additional questions or concerns that you have on the results, as Carlos mentioned, in our new goals for 2020, we will be answering through our investor relations department. Thank you all, and have a happy weekend. Thank you for your participation in this meeting. You may disconnect now.